It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
You love that turkey more than you love us.
That's right, I do. I love turkeys.
Okay.
Hello there, film lovers, and happy Thanksgiving weekend. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you heard is a man who loves Bob's Burgers as much as I do.
Yep.
And sometimes he loves turkey more than we do. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yes, hello, hello.
Now, we have guests, ladies and gentlemen. We are deep into the holiday season. Thanksgiving has happened, so now we're on Black Friday. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, no gift is not worth knocking over old people or smashing people through a plate glass window.
Even if it's a Turbo Man. Turbo Man.
Right. So, but you know what? If you shop local, that's less likely to happen. So anyway,
yes.
The other gift that we have, it's the gift that keeps on giving. We have guests, and they have taken out some of their time of their Thanksgiving holiday weekend to be with this ridiculous program. And for that, we are always eternally grateful. Sitting to my left, your radio right, is one of our HD2 sisters. She has a show Saturdays at 11 called Eat Drink Indiana Radio. Jolene Ketzenberger is in studio. Hi there.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. How fun is this?
Exactly. And now I also know you are also, I believe you are now, of course, the esteemed wife of a beer stein holding champion.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, held up 5 full beer steins, the longest. That was John Ketzenberger.
What was John's time on that?
You know, I don't think we were keeping time. It was going up against somebody else. So the first person to either spill it or set it down lost, and he held on the longest.
And John won. So
he
still wears the sash around the house,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a medal, too, that goes
I
along
bet
with
there
it.
Is. There's intense training for that. So good to have her in studio.
A lot of lat work. A lot of shoulder work.
A lot of right.
You gotta stretch.
It's a rub there. Down. Yeah, the rub downs are immense. He's got a steam bath. So now joining us on the phone from his kitchen is a television personality, Dad, as you can hear, and he's pounding living daylights out of hopefully a piece of protein, but he's been on the show before. Glad to have him back. Danny Boom is with us on the line. How are you, friend?
I'm fine, friend. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all.
Okay.
How you doing?
We're pretty good. I heard a child crying, and then I heard pounding on. That's the two separate things, right?
No, the same thing. He didn't behave himself, so I got the meat pounder out.
Stop.
And, you know, Kevin. No. It's all good. No, we're actually preparing. We have all our family coming over, so I'm actually in the middle of prepping sort of like a weekend. Everyone came for the weekend instead of on Thursday. So, and my son is running around causing merry hell because I've been left with the babysitting duties as well. So if you hear my wife
merry
say,
hell.
You know, my wife, there's a little bit of tension in the house right now because we've got getting ready. And so this could be radio gold, Matt.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And please stop imitating Bing Crosby. Please. That's not good for... And by the way, for the record, Danny is my favorite Maple Leaf. So never forget that.
Hockey rules.
Okay, I guess I want to go around the board since it's Friday. It's leftover Friday as well. So I guess we'll start with Jolene. What was your Thanksgiving like?
Oh, my Thanksgiving is wonderful. So you have to start out with that great brined turkey, which then yields the wonderful leftover turkey. So the leftover turkey is one of the best parts of Thanksgiving.
Okay, very good, Danny.
Well, we had a very eventful day, I've got to say that. We had a small Thanksgiving, but this weekend is our big family Thanksgiving. We've got 22 people coming over to our house.
Cholesterol.
Detroit, they're all coming from Detroit. They're coming over up to upstate New York. So we've got a really cool weekend ahead. So we've got a little bit of a mixture of the show. We've got actual Thanksgiving happening, and we've got the leftovers on Sunday.
And tell the Detroit people I love them.
Well, I'm glad you do.
Kobe, how about you? How was Thanksgiving?
It was good. Bianca made a – well, first year Bianca did a – well, no, she did a brine last year. I take that back. This year, though, different apple cider and some grapefruit, among other things.
Danny, did you just dive into something?
No, that was the ball pit. I had to dive in there to save Thomas the Tank Engine, so we're all good.
I love this show. Okay, so you did an apple vinegar, you said?
Apple cider and grapefruit, which was not...
Ooh.
Yeah, I was kind of hesitant on that. I was afraid it might get too
citrusy.
Bitter. Yeah, citrusy, bitter, but no, not at all. Very good.
Have you folks heard grapefruit with turkey? Is that a thing?
That's what I'm actually doing right now.
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Actually, my hand is right deep in my turkey right now, there's Matt, and I've got two oranges and whole grapefruit. And it actually, it's really good because what it does is it doesn't dry your turkey out. It actually steams the turkey. So you actually get, it cooks the actual center of the turkey through more thoroughly, as well as gives it a really lovely flavor to your gravy and stuff.
Your hand is in the turkey right now. Are you playing Al Green in the kitchen?
actually, I feel more like George Clooney in ER right now. I don't know what that is. But anyway.
Now, have you, Jolene, worked fruit with turkey before, right?
Oh, yeah, right. So we had a couple of oranges in our brine. No grapefruit, though. Sorry. Mm.
Okay. All right. Well, we had Thanksgiving with my in-laws, and we had a turkey roll.
Oh, a turkey roll. Nice.
Different. I guess I'm a curmudgeon where I kind of want an actual bird or at least a giant turkey breast, but no, we went with the turkey roll. and a sweet potato mash. So,
okay, nice.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Marshmallows or no?
Something. Yes.
We
are decadent Midwesterners, so it must be in there. Or as somebody says on radio, it's a state law. So, although I've been told by my sous chef, the 14-year-old, that we will have because I have yet to brine, and so I need to brine, and then also make the bacon gouda mash.
Oh, no, that sounds lovely.
Yes.
Bacon gouda mash?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that sounds very decadent, my friend.
Thank you. But we do what we can. Because to steal a line from Steel Magnolias, it takes some effort to look like this.
It's okay. Put the knife down. Okay. Anyway.
There's no other grown-ups in the house, right? You're just yelling random stuff.
No, that was the kid.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was definitely me and the kids. Sorry about that, guys. I cut you off.
No, it's fine. Sitcom wife shows up in 3, 2, 1.
Her hair is in rollers right now. Right. If I even step out of line, you know what's going to happen. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, his and her rolling pins. We know. Okay. So I guess I want to go around the board again. What do you like? What is the one thing that you like to do with your leftovers, Jolene?
So it's the leftover cranberry sauce, because the cranberry sauce is one of my very favorite things.
Uh-huh.
I like to make it, so I make it with red wine and apple cider to boil the cranberries. And so you make this wonderful cranberry sauce. And of course, it always makes a lot, and no one really eats a lot of cranberry sauce.
Uh-huh.
So you usually have leftover cranberry sauce. So you make cranberry bars instead of raspberry bar cookies.
Okay.
Oh, so they're filled with cranberry sauce. It's really, really good.
All right.
There's a thought.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, leftover-wise, we don't really do anything new or different with what we already have. It's just continuing
another
to
plate
eat.
Of it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So you have another plate of Thanksgiving.
And now you have an inspiration there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Danny, what do you like to do with your leftovers?
Sweet corn fritters. And I make sweet corn fritters, and then I make basically as an English thing. I think I told you about this last year when we did this. What I do is I get we fry basically all the vegetables. We have the mashed potatoes, the cabbage, the bacon, the turkey. We make them into potato cakes and then fry them, and then put them on top of the sweet corn fritters. And then cover them in like leftover gravy and a little bit of cranberry sauce. They're fantastic.
I'm seeing it.
And we call that bubbling squeak in England.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, yeah, all of the above in patty form.
Yeah.
Excellent. Actually, I tend to make a, I will dice up some potato, kind of basically make turkey hash. Always good on mm-hmm. that. So yeah, it's very simple, but it satisfies myself. So, okay. God, Danny has 22 people over, and I had a small group of five, and then
five
at yours?
Yep.
And how many at yours, Jolene?
Oh, my gosh. We probably had 15, 20-ish. We went up to extended family, and then there were extended family, and then friends, and that sort of thing.
Buddy.
So, yeah, so we had a turkey and a ham.
Oh, that's always good. Yeah.
Yes.
So, she's fancy.
You mean you're the dictator of turkey or nothing?
Yeah. I mean, well, I tried to introduce like something different, like lamb or goose one year.
Oh, no, you can't do that. No one will do
meal.
Lamb.
And I got told to either leave and be deported from the country because tradition is tradition.
That's
so
right.
I just always stuck with the turkey thing, you know.
In my family back in Michigan, my dad would always get a beef roast with giant hunks of garlic injected into it. The old Knob Creek Market in Flint, Michigan. But that was a secondary. And by the way, not a bad secondary.
Secondary.
I think a ham is always good. I always remember the episode, and that was Christmas, of Everybody Loves Raymond, where Deborah made a fish. And of course, yeah, sitcom family just looked at it with absolute bewilderment. I think having different animals along with turkey is not bad. So
not bad. And Christmas, the fish would be all right because, you know, there's the feast of seven fishes, you know, Christmas time. So you could have fish at Christmas time. That would be appropriate.
Absolutely. Anybody do Chinese on Thanksgiving?
All the time. Well, I mean, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
No, that's the night before Thanksgiving,
right? And if there's leftover Chinese, yeah, you do that.
Okay.
Danny, do you do Chinese? On the holidays?
I don't, no. I'm a bit of a Puritan when it comes to actually, like, making food for the holidays. You know, I'm seriously lighting up right now.
Okay, what are you doing for Christmas then? Ham?
No. We Friday, so we keep our sort of, like, a bit of an Italian tradition. We do fish on Friday night or the night before Christmas Eve. So we do, like, a fish supper. And then on the Christmas Day, it is full on. It'll be a lamb or a duck that's fully prepped. They're the two meats that we generally do. And then we'll all the trimmings on top.
Nice.
Wow.
And lots of hockey.
Yeah. Actually, well, you know, my biggest favorite when we lived in New York City was New Year's Day, which is the Winter Classic.
Oh, yeah.
And what we would do is we'd be so hungover. There's a place in New York City called Artichoke Pizza, which is, I've got to say, it's the biggest pizza you've ever seen in your life. Their standard pizza is over 20 inches.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
And their slice alone is something like 4 by 5 inches. It's amazing. And so we would get three of those and just sit and gorge all day on those. That was our... That's when we lived in the city. But now we live in suburbia. I have to cook.
Oh,
so there we go.
Well, I went to a lutefisk dinner the other day. So that's a holiday thing.
Okay.
For the Lutherans in perhaps a Minnesota-ish area. So I went to the Sons of Norway dinner here, the local chapter of the Sons of Norway, the local lodge of the Sons of Norway. And they had a holiday lutefisk dinner the other day. So that was sort of interesting. I got to try that.
Now, sorry, saying Sons of Norway, did you do like the whole pickled herring and all that type of stuff going on?
Well, we had the lutefisk, which was interesting.
The first time you'd ever had that?
It was the first time I'd ever had lutefisk.
It's pretty stinky stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's that texture thing, you know, because it's almost gelatin-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lutefisk is one of my favorite rappers, by the way. So Danny Terrible. Brought it up. Now I'm curious. Jolene, what is your hangover food of choice?
Oh, my goodness. So like a big breakfast, probably biscuits and gravy.
You got to sop it up with the grease.
Yeah, biscuits and gravy, absolutely.
Could. Cobe?
I don't know because I don't know if I've ever been that far down.
You went to IU.
Man.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but
you just haven't applied yourself.
You ain't trying hard enough, son.
Clearly.
To steal a line from Animal House, my advice to you is to start drinking heavily. You better listen to him, Flounder. He's in pre-med. Why you didn't? What, a trip to Ma Bear's wasn't up your alley?
Well, then okay. So if you were, what'd you get at, like at Waffle House? The Waffle House that is no longer.
Oh yeah, that's a sad situation.
Not there anymore. But surely you went there. What would you have like at 3 a.m?
God, I don't know. I can't even remember. I can't even remember.
Somebody's had a healthy life, Danny. Look at this, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like I've never heard of anyone.
When you do, have the biscuits and gravy. I'm telling you.
All
there
right.
you go.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Find a Waffle House.
I have never been that low before.
It's good fodder there. Okay, shifting gears a little bit. So, remember this. Oh, this is the extended part of the film talk for the film show. Are there movie plans for the weekend? I mean, because eventually you need a breather. You have to get away from the family. Danny, you have a tribe
family
showing up, so you're going to need a break.
We've got out already. So we went to see The Hunger Games and we went to see Spectre. But now I'm going to get my wish because I want to go see Burnt with Bradley Cooper.
I was going to ask on that.
That's not really on my agenda. That one's just not looking appealing to me at all.
But he's handsome and he can cook.
The girl in the group now, but it's Bradley Cooper.
Well, you know he's easy on the eyes, but I'm not really liking the premise seems like such a cliche, and it seems like several years ago of a cliche.
You mean the handsome, hard, self-destructive chef? Hi, Danny.
Yada, yada. Hey. No, I was never self-destructive. Yeah.
You know,
anyway.
It's so pat now. You know, we've moved beyond that. There's a whole new, you know, there's like a paradigm shift going on.
Yes,
you know,
we have family men who are hockey fans that love cooking. Hello, Danny.
Hi.
That
and
would be Chef
drinking.
Ryan Nelson
yes.
from Indianapolis.
Yes, and hard drinking, of course. Okay, so yeah, we'll have to go and see. I haven't seen it because I think it's I don't even know if it's still in town. So we have to check your local listings on that because Hunger Games is. Did you see Spectre and Hunger Games back to back?
So this is how it worked. Megan Temerantini says if I've got to sit through 2.5 hours of James Bond, then you've got to sit through 2.5 hours of Hunger Games, which I have no problem with. So what we did was we did it one Friday and then we did the next Friday. And it was actually really cool because, to be absolutely honest, we managed to catch up in between as well. So it was like, oh yeah, that happened, blah, 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 blah. And we caught up and it was great. I mean, it was just really, I've got to say, Spectre was a fantastic bridge movie. I cannot wait for the next one.
Yes.
I just don't know who's going to, if Daniel Craig is still going to be Bond, which I'd be really, really hoping he is.
Yeah, he's back on, yeah. I think, for two more.
So two more,
all right,
and of course our guy Christoph Waltz is on for several as long as allowed. So
and Blofeld, well, I mean, to be absolutely honest, the whole building of Blofeld, I'm really, and even the fluffy cat just made me like go. I mean, I'm a huge Bond fan, so
yes.
It was like yes. And also his deep character. I got to say, I was quoting some of. Like his line for the rest of the week, which can really drive everybody crazy, you know. But then the Hunger Games, I thought that was the most beautiful ending to a trilogy that I've really seen.
Which one? Yeah. There's four endings to that thing.
Isn't that talking about the Lord of the Rings?
No, Lord of the Rings had 9 endings. Hunger Games only had like 3 or 4. But I understand that.
Okay, now Dan, you said the Hunger Games was not your choice, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
but have
Hunger
you?
Games wasn't my...
But you've seen all the others.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was just that, you know, when opening night came, I'm sorry, the sweet potatoes have just gone in the oven.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's all right, no worries, update in the kitchen. as you're evolving a relationship, you know, you start taking on each other's movies. Megan is yet to see Harry Potter, the whole trilogy, or Star Wars. So I have like some real holiday planning for her right now. But then,
does she know this?
She's shaking her head right now. But her hair looks magnificent. That's just the update on the hair, by the way. But what we were saying is like it's really cool because the Hunger Games and basically Skyfall. That's when we met. We've gone through those movies together as a relationship. And I think that's what you do, don't you? In a family sense, you pick a movie and you stick with it. I mean, seriously, Lord of the Rings, I would like my 9.5 hours 5 years back, personally. But, you know. But the rest of it is like, it's nice. You get these new series and, you know, you carry on with them as a family, as a group.
Very good. I guess, Jolene, whose turn is it at the Katzenberger house? If we have his turn, her, or her turn?
If we were picking movies?
Yes.
Actually, I think we agree on the one that we would actually go see next, I think. Forgive me if I get it wrong. Trumbo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just saw Trumbo over the weekend.
Yeah, what'd you think? Because that's the one we both actually want to go see.
Yeah, it's I really enjoy it. Now, there's a term that I like to use from my dear friend Laura Jansen, who always says, I don't like biopics because they're movies about people. And but what she meant was the biopic story arc.
Oh,
this is not, you know, where, you know, young and up and coming and then successful and then there's a downfall and a redemption. That's not this. I mean, Trumbo, basically, it follows his life from the time he is blacklisted to when he's finally validated for his work. I'm a big fan of Bryan Cranston. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because you know, this is a man who is sweating and working really hard on a film like Godzilla.
Right.
And so the fact that I think he got the big check to do Godzilla so he could do a smaller picture like Trumbo.
One, right?
And he's really good. I mean, Trumbo, and I love, there's a great documentary on Trumbo, which everybody should check out. But yeah, getting the focus and the man, I mean, Trumbo was a complete wordsmith. But he was also not quite your stereotypical tortured artist. This was a guy who, you know, his focus was to do the right thing, was to make a living. He had to take aliases and right. and do ghostwriting for other studios, and even to the detriment of his family. And there's a nice relationship with his daughter, who by the early 60s has become an advocate, but it's for civil rights instead of her dad's fight against McCarthyism. Really solid cast. Diane Lane gets to do a lot more than you normally would with the wife character. Helen Mirren's in this.
Right.
Stephen Root, John Goodman, who play brothers in this, and we're surprised the Coen brothers hadn't gotten to that yet. But there's a night. I mean, the more you know about his story, obviously the story's about working on Spartacus, working on Roman Holiday, working on Exodus. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
There's a term that Ed Johnson out at Nouveau uses, which I still borrow and give him credit for. There are times where the film sounds like you're getting hit over the head with a cardboard tube. So you're getting hit over the head with a message, but it doesn't hurt as much as a hammer.
Okay. All right.
So, obviously do the right thing is kind of a standing for your principles. It's there. So, yeah, definitely go see that because that's probably not going to be around much longer.
Probably not,
and,
right.
And probably should because there's, you know, wall-to-wall movies. Now, also opening this weekend, just to remind people, you have Pixar's The Good Dinosaur, which I have not checked out yet, but I believe The Onion referred to it as probably one of the strangest Disney films since Dumbo.
Okay.
So if you're into unique and odd.
Right.
Victor Frankenstein, if you need a story about the creation of the creator with James McAvoy, and Daniel Radcliffe as Igor.
Really?
Not Marty Feldman.
Well, all right.
So I don't know who's playing Inga in that. And then over the weekend, I did sit down. I don't need an Oscar-winning picture to get me through the Thanksgiving weekend. And I just something that is satisfying, comfort food. I need
cinematic comfort food. That's good.
And I found that this weekend with Creed. great. Somebody's not agreeing with my review of Creed. I haven't even done it yet.
Tell him again. Okay, no worries.
That was great.
Yeah. Exactly.
Great timing.
Exactly.
Oh, perfect. All right. So, yes, it first off, this film is not Rocky VI. It's not even Rocky VII. Yes, Sly is in it, playing his character as a supporting character. He's not writing it. He's not directing it. He's not producing it. It's directed by the same gentleman who worked with Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station, which I thought was one of the top films of that year. Michael B. Jordan plays the son of Apollo Creed. Carl Weathers probably not going to be happy with the way Creed's character is treated. He is an offshoot of an affair and winds up lives in a juvenile facility and winds up spending time with Creed. Lover played by Felisa Rashad, and then he wants to get out of his dad's shadow by getting into boxing but using his own name. I know there's mixed messages there, but it is a nice twist, kind of like the last two Bond films, where there's elements of old and new. I mean, it's this kid's story about trying to break out on his own, dealing with the ghost of his past. And as you're watching Creed, of course, you're wondering, when does Bill Conti's score come in? Later than you think. And there's nice little homages to, yes, he's running through the streets of Philadelphia, not the Bruce Springsteen tune, but instead of running up the stairs, there's motorcycles behind him. And there's a nice subplot with Sly and what happens with Rocky's character. Boxing-wise, good footage, good use of especially stuff that's in the ring. Kobe Slagle has known me for a long time, obviously, with the show, and he knows my bag of tricks.
Yep.
And, Kobe, you were wondering if I was going to say a certain thing.
Yeah, one of two things. It's flawed.
Well, yes, and as I'm told...
This is a great boxing movie if you've never seen a boxing movie.
And that was my review of Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal earlier this year. Yes, this is a fine... If you've never seen a boxing movie, yes, you will enjoy this. If you're a big Rocky franchise fan, I think you're going to be satisfied because there's enough old elements from the series and a really solid performance from Michael B. Jordan. And this is an actor who's got a name that's similar to a basketball player of no relation. So this is a kid who's known about this for a while. He survived the Fantastic Four film from earlier this year. And it's a nice rooted performance. So that being said, I think this is this pipe. If you're going to go see a new film, this is the one that we're checking out over the weekend. I enjoyed it. Danny, how are you on boxing pictures?
I'm a bit of a connoisseur of the boxing. Boxing is one of my big passions. I actually go quite a lot to the gym and do a bit of sparring. And I guess you didn't know that, but
no.
The thing about boxing was like when you had, it's kind of interesting what you just said. Then, if you've never seen, and it's really hard because if you've never seen a sports movie, it's really, really difficult to explain that to someone. Like, as you just said, if you've never seen a boxing movie, then this is a great movie. If you've seen a boxing movie, then is it going to be Cinderella Man, or is it going to be The Cyclone, or is it going to be, thank God it's not any of the Rocky movies, And it's kind of interesting that, Rocky was great at the beginning, but then it got really weak towards the end.
So, right, and I remember when Rocky Balboa came out, and
was just a couple years ago.
It was a few years ago, because this was during the revitalization of Stallone's career, and I remember calling it the most highly praised mediocre film of the year. Kind of like the Detroit Lions are the greatest under 500 team in the NFL right now. But it was because
that's a stretch.
Thank you, because that's the first half of Rocky Balboa is reminding you of why this won Best Picture in 1976, and then we get to the second half, and it's what we want: the training sequences, the fight itself, the fact that Sly is in his 60s and he's still willing to get in the ring and do this. And it was, and the other thing that Rocky Balboa had to do, the only thing it really had to do, was erase Rocky V from memory, and it does. And I think what Creed does, Creed eliminates Rocky V and Rocky Balboa altogether. You don't need to see those two pictures to appreciate this. And the other thing, Danny, you were talking about, yes, as far as boxing movies, I think the last great film that involved boxing is the film The Fighter with Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg, because it's not just about will he win the big fight. And there is that element in this film, but the Fighter is the boxing movie also having the deal from the family's point of view, especially when your mom is your manager, and then you wind up being with the barmaid from Amy Adams, and then dealing with who do you trust? Do you trust the woman that you love or the family that's been with you, even though they haven't given you the best choices? And then your brother is crackhead Christian Bale. So.
And we've all been there, haven't we, Matt? Really?
No.
We've all been there.
Yeah, Christian Bale's been at my house constantly. But don't walk through his eye line. He'll scream at you. But no, those anything that breaks beyond, the fight climax is helpful. Have you ever, Danny, have you ever seen Fat City?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Check that out. It's 1972. It's an aging boxer played by Stacy Keach, who is training a young and up and comer played by a young Jeff Bridges, and it's directed by John Huston. And it's also in the small California towns where boxing and wrestling still happen in, you know, war memorials and high school gyms, and it is not the glamorous life. Don King is nowhere near these boxers at all.
Well, this is the thing though. When you look at these movies, and that's why I think the glorious thing about The Fighter, when you actually like go to the gym and you meet these guys, you do realize it's like boxing is like no other sport, because these guys they do it purely for the love of it. And then when they do turn pro, they earn such little money at the beginning. And so that's why The Fighter was such a good, I mean, like to say that the guy was going to go in there and do the honor fight, basically, or be a stepping stone,
mm-hmm.
and get 15,000 for it. That was a day out for those people.
Right.
But like, that, you're going to get the crap kicked out of you for 15,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, nobody would even walk on the field for that. So it's these sort of, you know, when you can mirror that and you can understand the character, and then obviously you just said about the family issues, it's more about the family than about you half the time. You know, so it is poignant, and that's the great thing about fight movies. They do have these real realistic stories that you really, really can relate. I know I'm coming. he wants feeding. But yeah, so that is a really good point to put across.
Thank you. Now, shifting gears a little bit, Jolene was telling me earlier, there's a new documentary that you've checked out that would be up everyone's alley with this panel, of course.
Oh, I think so.
Tell us about the documentary called For Grace.
Oh, so it's about Chef Curtis Duffy in Chicago, right? So this is mm-hmm. this is why the whole cliche of burnt, you know, and the made up chef thing isn't very.
Oh, he's so not
right
Anthony
now.
Bourdain. No, no.
But it's a documentary, so it's real, you know. So
right.
At least I get to so you know you don't have the actor portraying the troubled chef. You have the real troubled chef, which I find more compelling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about Curtis Duffy in Chicago, and so his restaurant Grace, you know, is a Michelin starred restaurant, and so it's about his it's got the background on his very troubled childhood.
Mm-hmm.
A terrible issue with his parents. His dad killed his mom and then killed himself, and so you have that in there. So it came from a very troubled background, but it was like a junior high cooking teacher who kind of saved him, sort of, and kind of focused him and let, you know, pointed him toward cooking. So it's about him closing his one restaurant and then opening his new restaurant, Grace, which is in Chicago, and you can go there.
Okay. Now, where did you find the film?
So it was shown at the Indie Film Fest this past season. And okay. So I got to watch that ahead of time. And actually, I watched it with a local chef, with Neil Brown, and did an interview here for radio on what his reactions to it was. You know, from a chef's perspective, was it real? Was it authentic? Did it feel right?
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely.
And it's still, the film is still on the festival circuit right now?
It is. It's in various festivals. I think it's being shown, I think it's, oh my goodness, there might be one in Columbus, Ohio right now. And I think Curtis Duffy is going to that. So yeah, so it's being shown on the film festival circuit, I guess.
Okay, so make a note of that on the chalkboard in your kitchen there, Danny. I know you have one.
Four yes,
yeah.
There you go.
Now also, Jolene talked to somebody that you know a little bit about, Danny. Mario Batali was in town recently.
He was in town last Saturday, signing books at a local supermarket, Market District up in Carmel. His new Farm to Table cookbook. And so I got to talk with him and all the food writers who wanted to talk to him. We only had 5 minutes, right? Oh, you only got 5 minutes of Mario Batali, so what are you going to say? So, you know, one good answer could take up 5 minutes depending on who you're asking. So I did a quick this or that kind of interview, you know, ham or turkey, cake or pie.
What do you say?
Ham for Christmas, turkey for Thanksgiving, pie, definitely, instead of cake. Stuffing on the side, and the big surprise, sweet potatoes, marshmallows or not. And he said, if no one's looking, marshmallows.
Wow.
So there you go. Mario Batali likes marshmallows on his sweet potatoes.
There you go. Danny, any dirt on Mario?
I've got to say, he's a friend of mine, and he's a force of nature, that guy.
Yes,
and,
he is.
And I know how fast he talks, and I know how much he talks, so you could have, for 5 minutes, you got a lot.
We did. Actually, it kind of extended to be a little bit beyond 5 minutes. We gave him 8 or 9 minutes, so it was all right.
He probably got that little marshmallow thing from his buddy, Michael Simon.
Oh.
Because, you know, that's a good Cleveland thing there.
There we go, see.
Put marshmallows on top of it. Because Mario's quite the refined. Do you know, this is a really lovely, interesting fact about him. He is home at 6 o'clock every night, no matter where he is, so he can have dinner with his family.
And he likes to cook breakfast for the kids, so that's very nice.
Wow. Yep.
Every day.
Although he's kind of a Midwestern
thing. Kind of like the Joe Pesci of food, when you think about that in casinos. He always makes it home for breakfast.
Oh, I was like...
Always makes it home for dinner, yeah.
And then occasionally putting a guy's head in a vice.
Other than that.
Well... I haven't seen him do that yet.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Excellent.
But we talked about Michigan things, too, because he has a place in Michigan and the Leelanau Peninsula up around the Traverse City area. Mario does.
Yeah. Yes.
And so we talked Michigan things, you know, about, you know, cherries and blueberries and things like that, pasties and fudge, and so we talked all sorts of things.
Fudge!
Oh, it is fudge season.
Yes!
Let us revisit this.
Oh, your fudge, that's
this
right.
Is so
okay,
good.
All right.
I am so glad you mentioned this, Jolene.
Go ahead, Kobe. You take the reins on this one.
All right, Danny.
Yeah.
Fudge. Seasonal or not?
Oh, no. Anytime is good for fudge.
I love you, Danny Boom. Yep.
So, I agree with you. See, I'm not fighting that. I'm saying I would love to have fudge anytime, but the only time you come across fudge, unless you are in a tourist place or in Traverse City, Michigan, is around the holidays.
But I went to a grocery store and brought you some in March, remember? With the big smirk on my face because I thought I was right.
Yeah, that was like 2 or 3 years ago, though.
So I have to do it every year? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if it doesn't, I don't know. I don't know if they're still doing that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you know a Fudge of the Month Club, please send them to Kobe Slago, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana.
It is fudge season. Bianca
fudge
got me a
there.
Candy thermometer last year.
That's what you need, right?
A candy thermometer.
You're good to go. You can make it now.
You're gonna make candy.
No, but it goes up to like $2.35 for fudge.
Okay, you're right. Just checking. Jeez. Danny, do you have a favorite fudge?
Actually, no. I'm. You know, I could go anywhere.
He's going to say, no, I've never been that low. I don't eat fudge.
No, I mean, I'm seriously. Yeah, like, I'm an all kind of fudge type
okay,
of guy.
So like peanut butter or chocolate? Or
I like peanut butter.
Well, chocolate. I mean, do you know what I do? Like, we had actually last night. You know, this is so funny you bring up fudge. We had chocolate fudge, almond and coconut ice cream.
Oh god!
Wow.
It was. I've got to say, best ice cream meal I've ever had in my life.
Wow!
It was amazing.
I like peppermint fudge.
Don't.
No, and even a bark. I'm also a bark fan.
Oh, bark is very good.
Yeah, I like that.
I like the fudge with walnuts. You know, no one else in my family likes the nuts in the fudge. But, you know,
oh, so you have your own stash.
So I pick it out.
If they're jerks,
mine.
They pick them out.
Right. So that one's mine. And then we have the peanut butter fans. And then we always get some sort of random weird fudge like creamsicle or raspberry or something.
Soiling
like that.
Green.
Oh, weird.
No, there's nothing wrong with orange. I've had orange creamsicle.
Yeah, of course you have, right?
When you go to a fudgery.
Because, of course, we're in Michigan in the summer times. And so I don't know what it is about Michigan and fudge, but there's fudge shops everywhere.
I think, is it a Midwestern? Danny, are there fudge shops all over upstate?
Yeah. I mean, there's actually a lot of the chocolate. Well, I'll maybe sound posh now. A lot of the chocolatiers around here. Now I sound so PBS now. Right? I do that.
Thanks.
Yeah, like, yes. Today on Dining Upstate New York. But yeah, to be honest, it's like it's a big thing at home in England, big thing, and especially around like carnival festivals, you know, you bring the fudge home. But then, obviously, my mother-in-law, she's from the Midwest, she's from Canton, Michigan,
and we were actually
we went there like 2 weeks ago, and she brought a ton back for for Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, so around the holidays, yeah. Matt. Did you hear that?
Why don't you shut up, Kobe, and let Danny and Jolene speak,
no, Kobe,
fool?
It was already on sale for the holidays. It wasn't like they made it specially for the holidays. We bought it so we could, you know, replenish ourselves. But we eat fudge all year round, brother. You know.
Yeah, brother, what do you think of that, huh?
That's the kind of world I want to live in.
Year-round fudge.
Year-round. Well, it can be.
If you take matters into your own hands, yeah.
But you don't.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I have to. I have no choice.
But I never see this, so you can make a point about it.
No. Yeah,
I mean, Cozy right. Sounds practically Amish right now. the whole thing is we have to do the candy at seasonal, and we don't drink till we
that's
drop.
Right. I mean, what's the only fudge at Christmas.
We'll work on that. All right. Couple other titles to bring up. Especially on DVD and Blu-ray, because this is the other one. This is the time to actually binge watch and get through some stuff. It's funny, we were talking about proteins earlier. Shaun the Sheep movie is now out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Speaking of protein,
so you know, if you can't have sheep or lamb at your supper, you can have it in your DVR. Now, of course, this is from Aardman, so these are the people that gave us Chicken Run and Wallace and Gromit, and Shaun the Sheep was a series which they actually stretched out into an 80-minute movie, and it's fun. It's not nearly as groundbreaking as Chicken Run, which we still adore to this day. But I think it's a good 101 if you have young audience members, because there's no dialogue. It's just animal noises for the most part, so and a lot of visuals. So anyway, I think this is a good stepping stone if you're inflicting cinema on your young child. So, Danny, take note. Also, we have Ricky and the Flash with Meryl Streep,
okay,
Kevin Klein.
I wanted to see that when it was out in the cinemas. My daughter and I were going to go see it, and we just
but it got pulled.
We just didn't get around to it fast enough.
Yeah, it is probably the finest film set in Indiana, not shot in Indiana this year. Congratulations to him on that. And of course, full disclosure: there is a scene from Ricky and the Flash that has a piece of audio from WFYI News from our own Christopher Ayers.
How cool is that?
Very cool. So, yeah, Street plays an aging rock star who goes back to goes back to Indiana. And it looks more like there's a scene that's done in a coffee shop in Littleville. It looks like Zionsville. It's not.
Okay.
But anyway, the ex-husband, played by Kevin Klein, and their daughter, and it's played by Streep's real-life daughter, who's been left at the whose husband has left her. So anyway, it's reconcile. It's directed by Jonathan Demme, and written by Diablo Cody. So if you're fans of Juno and Rachel Getting Married, you could do a lot worse. I mean, these are kind of stock characters we're known for, except for Streep, who actually can play guitar
and
actually can sing, as we know from Mamma Mia.
She's just cool.
And a film that's, you know, this is probably going to be more fun as a rental than actually seeing it in the theaters. But I do want to point out, as somebody who had a really nice supporting role, and this is a man who has starred in stuff for years, but he's really good in this, is Rick Springfield.
Really?
To go from, yeah, because he's even admitted everything he did in the 70s was pure rubbish. And, you know, he was on a soap and he started in Hard to Hold, which was god-awful 30 years ago. And he's really good in this as Streep's long-suffering bandmate and boyfriend. So that is out there as well. We also have American Ultra with Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. So I can hear Stacey rolling her eyes already. And it's kind of if you took the Bourne movies and made them into a stoner comedy where Eisenberg is a slacker who finds out he's actually a trained assassin and Stewart is his contact. So over the top violent action sequences, not really fun. And speaking of fun, No Escape, this is the one with Owen Wilson, Pierce Brosnan, and Lake Bell, where they're overseas when a political coup is happening. If anything else, you'll laugh at the trailer because there's a scene where the husband and wife are on separate sides, are on opposite buildings, and in order to save the child, dad tosses the child to mom. Welcome to cinematic physics. So anyway, that is out there as well. A couple old titles of note. I don't know if this is making its Blu-ray debut, but this is a film that was actually shot in Indiana because it was the 80s. John Sayles' great film, probably my favorite John Sayles film, 8 Men Out, about the 1919 Black Sox scandal with young up-and-comers like Charlie Sheen, John Cusack, And anyway, a really fun look at that downfall with the Black Sox scandal. And if you look carefully, if you pause, there's a scene with the new commissioner of baseball, and you see off screen a hand with a cigar in it. That's my father-in-law.
Oh, cool. My goodness.
Yeah,
well, there
Bill
go.
Perkins with a cameo in that. If you're a fan of music documentaries, Criterion has put out Bob Dylan's Don't Look Back from 1965. This was when he was about ready. Yeah, this is after he went electric. Making fun of Donovan, making Joan Baez's life hell, making the press's life even worse, and really good performances on stage from Dylan. And if you're a fan of Akira Kurosawa, like I am, Criterion has put out one of his simple and most complex. And what I mean by that, it's not a samurai film. It's not Rashomon, Seven Samurai. It's a beautiful contemporary drama called Ikuru. And it's what happens when a bureaucrat rediscovers his own life and life itself after he finds out he has terminal cancer. And it's a beautifully understated film. It's a little heavy, but visually it's fantastic. And it's a wonderful performance from Takashi Shimura, who was one of Kurosawa's regular players. It wasn't just Toshirô Mifune, but you've seen this guy in Seven Samurai, Throne of Blood, Rashomon. Anyway, and it's Criterion, and I believe there is a certain bookstore around here. It rhymes with Carnes and Hobel, and I believe Criterion's are 50% off until the end of the month. So if you're into shopping for music like I am, that is out there as well. A shameless plug. December 3rd here in Indianapolis at the Athenaeum, there's going to be the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. This is also in association with the Indiana Forest Alliance. And this is a film that talks about the environment and the rainforest. And it's a series of short films from all over the world. And yours truly will be hosting this on December 3rd.
Cool.
December 11th. Friday, December 11th at the Centerville Christian Church, which is less than an hour away, and it's not that big a drive. But there's going to be a charity performance, two shows, 5:30 and 7:30, of A Christmas Carol, which is going to be done. And proceeds for this these performances go to Hope House, which is, of course, a male rehab center and facility. And yours truly is playing Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, of course, of course.
Wow.
It's like art imitating life or life imitating art.
Wow. Humbug to all of you. Thanks. I had to get the beard trim, so I look more Dickensian, apparently.
But you didn't get the haircut, right? And yeah, I remember you.
I did ask. Well, I'm wearing a top hat and then a nightcap, so why do I need to get my haircut for that? So. Although I've already had two people at Richmond Civic say to me, "How attached are you to your hair?" And I said, "Why? Because next fall we're doing A Few Good Men." And I said, "We'll see. We'll see. But you can't handle the truth." So anyway.
I thought you were going to say The King and I.
Okay, first off, Lou Diamond Phillips didn't shave his head for the revival, so I'm sticking with Lou on that one. Secondly, nobody needs to hear me sing. No, I can sing better than Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia, and that's really about it.
Well, as long as you can sing better than Russell Crowe in
Les Mis?
Yeah,
he's got a band, too, so no, and he'll beat me up. I don't want to do that. So no, I have no comment on that, Danny.
Was he in The Phantom?
No, that was Gerard Butler.
Okay.
The bombastic Phantom of the Opera,
yes.
Which is kind of redundancy, really, in terms, so...
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, all right. Danny, do you have a favorite musical?
Oh, Chicago.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. That is the one Bob Fosse film my child will not let me watch with her. Because apparently I'm going to say things about Catherine Zeta-Jones, apparently.
I've got to say, not as a movie, but the stage show, I've seen seven, eight times.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, when you, I got to say, the stage version of The Lion King is also the most amazing thing I've ever seen as well. So, and Spamalot.
Yes.
Yeah. But as movies go, it's got to be White Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Good timing, sir.
Yeah.
Now, Kobe.
Delivered that one, didn't I, Cody?
Yeah.
There we go.
Now, that one he won't watch in March. And that's okay. That's all right. Jolene, do you have a favorite musical?
You know, in general, I really don't like musicals.
Uh-huh.
I just can't suspend my disbelief enough to have the chorus boys come dancing into the show.
But enough about Senator Craig or Larry Hinkle.
But anyway. There actually is a musical that I like, yeah. Which is really weird. 1776. That was
I
just
love
one
1776.
It's just really one of my favorites. I don't know why. I get, you know, because when I was a kid, my sister had the album of the soundtrack, and so I kind of grew on that one.
That is one that at the Soce House on July 4th, if we're not watching Yankee Doodle Dandy, we're watching 1776. Great. And the other thing, and this was a big deal in 1972, most of the original cast was in that film. William Daniels, of course, Ken Howard. The only change was Betty Buckley played Martha in the movie, and they cast Blythe Danner, and I'm really okay with that because Blythe Danner's stunning in this film. But the songs are great, and it's really entertaining as far as a piece of American history. So I'm going to stick with you on that.
I like it.
And my father-in-law's played Franklin a couple times here in Indy.
Wow.
But no, and it's funny. As Lynn, every time we watch that, Lynn reminds me, you want Martha, you're married to Abigail. And that kind of sums it up best. And, of course, there's a line from 1776 that we use in Abdul Hakim Shabazz's intro, because he's the John Adams of Indianapolis media a little bit. So, Cobe, now I know your wife, which we still haven't decided the title for Fair Sweet Bianca. Oh, by the way, the girl that's in Creed, her name is Bianca, and she's a performer.
Ah.
So there's that. Now, I know she's probably the musical correspondent at the Slagle household. Mm-hmm. Does she have a favorite or is there a favorite of yours that because of her?
Show wise, without question, her favorite is definitely Phantom. That's not even a conversation to have. That's just
really? I can't have a conversation.
That's period, point blank, end of story.
Wow.
For me, show wise, I don't know, but film wise, Singing in the Rain.
That's the stuff.
That is the stuff.
As Bianca actually said this, not those actual words, this is radio, but yeah, she...
You've not seen Meet Me in St. Louis? That movie is the stuff.
And if you've ever heard Kobe's wife, curse, it's amusing, so...
Yes, exactly, Coach. That's what he sounds like, isn't it?
Okay.
He just heard, have you heard, I mean, when someone says that is the stuff, you've just got a 2-year-old excited. that's it, right there.
Okay. Now, okay, so Jolene, I will give you, I understand that you have spoken on the number one reason why people usually don't like musicals is the whole bursting into song thing. I get that, but, history lesson, Bob Fosse was one of those that he created, as Wes Gehring at Ball State referred to, as the anti-musical. And what he did, and Chicago is a great example of it, where there is musical performances, but they happen to be on a stage. Cabaret is a great example of that, where it's not just, you know, Liza and Michael York are sitting at a dinner table, and then they, boom, go in. The performances are actually happening on stage as we know it. So,
I did like Billy Elliot. How's that?
That's cool.
All
we
right.
like that.
Perfect.
So there's
Perfect.
My life.
Yeah. And everybody's dance teacher should be a chain smoking Julie Walters, aka Mrs. Weasley.
I know, right.
And by the way, she's really another film that's worth checking out this holiday weekend. And Kobe, you could do a lot worse because I sent the trailer to your wife. Is the film Brooklyn?
Oh.
With no.
Oh no! What I
okay. This is the one with Saoirse Ronan. She's an Irish immigrant who moves to New York in the early '50s, gets a job at a department store, and falls for a first generation Italian guy, and of course Irish and Italian in the '50s. And then there's a family tragedy that happens, and she goes back to Ireland where she's courted by a young man. So it is a well done weepy will she or won't she? But the landlady that she has to live in a building full of single women. But it's run by Julie Walters, who I've always adored ever since educating Rita in the early '80s. So it's a date film, Cobe, but you'll crack up at seeing Mrs. Weasley. So there is that. And this is a date film that you don't have to scrape off the sap. You don't have to feed it to diabetics when they go in the shock. It's a really nice understated date drama.
All right.
I love the little yelling in the back. Somebody there doesn't want to see Brooklyn because they're two.
I was trying to explain it to him, but
Just not having it.
We lived it.
Probably more like Shaun the Sheep, maybe.
Hey, Shaun the Sheep. Yeah, he's watching Turkey Day right now. the first turkey. Anyway. The Free Birds. That's what he's watching.
Oh,
right now.
Gosh, right. That's 14 minutes long, and nobody needs that.
Yeah. I was trying to get into Madagascar penguins. That's more our speed, but we're getting there.
You've tried and hasn't worked yet?
Oh God, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, the last time I spoke to you, this time last year, we were talking about difference between children's programming and things like that.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So this time we went from Daniel Tiger. Now we're into Octonauts. I don't know if you've come across that gem of a cartoon. But I've got to say, I wish they'd get this right for the kids. If you ever watch this, it's like they have this team of eight animals that are going under the sea and they're solving problems and all this type of thing. And there's this guy called Barnacles. He's the actual, the sea, what do we call it, a marine biologist.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a rabbit. Or a cat, I can't remember. Anyway, that's Captain Barnacles. Yeah. Anyway, the thing is, with children's programming these days, I wish they would get the facts right, because this guy is the marine biologist, but he never knows what the animal is that they're trying to search for.
is this like why can't Professor build a ship on Gilligan's Island, but he can make a coconut phone?
Exactly. I mean, and it's like, how many times have I to see this guy slap his head and go, oh, that's what it is?
It sounds like what you're describing is like why Dora the Explorer can't find the backpack that's sitting right next to her.
Exactly. We've got to come on. Kids are smarter than you actually think they are nowadays. It's kind of funny.
Okay, that's duly noted. We'll pass it on to HR.
I vented on that one. We talked about the interracial tension between Teacher Harriet and Music Man Stan.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So, this one comes up to me again every time. I'm thinking, there's this polar bear who's flying around under the sea. They have this amazing spaceship and everything like that. But you're the one guy that should know what everything is under the sea doesn't know what everything under the sea is. And it's like, how can that be?
You spend many hours at home, don't you, sir?
I need a drink and some seasonal fudge. Oh.
But the controversy among parents with the kids show is Caillou, right? Whether you love Caillou or hate Caillou.
Whiny Caillou.
Whiny Caillou. Whiny Caillou. So whiny.
Whiny looks like Michael Stipe Caillou.
We are an anti-Caillou family, although we watch the show with the kids too. So,
right.
So we can sing the song still.
Oh, that's great. And Grandma saying, Caillou's not having a good day, and he's flailing around on the floor like the fish in the Faith No More video. I remember when Emma was teeny tiny and she couldn't sleep. Prior to that, and by the way, I still am a fan and supporter of PBS Kids Sprout, which is 20.
Oh,
yeah.
If you're talking about Sprout, then you've got to talk about it. It's the best cartoon in the world.
Which one?
Ruff, Tweet, and Dave.
Okay, we'll look into that. It's a little past Emma's prime, but we'll look into that. Cool,
amazing.
but there was a period of when we heard there was 24-hour children's programming. Like, who thought this was a good idea?
One a.m.
and the baby's awake, and like, oh, this is why.
Right.
This is why.
Then
thank you.
You. Out, right?
Yeah, because the baby doesn't want to hear Sports Center from 5 hours ago, or BBC football scores overnight. And this is the thing I still do to this day. Anytime the BBC says Parliament, I always mutter or Funkadelic.
Ain't nothing but a party, y'all.
I'm telling you, maybe we should play Funkadelic while Parliament meetings are being broadcast. That might be more fun with the mothership. Okay.
Too funny.
Okay, I think we're about ready to wrap things up. So I guess, Jolene, can you give us one cooking tip for the holidays?
Do it all ahead of time, as much as you can ahead of time, so that you can actually enjoy all those people coming over.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Very good.
I hate to have people in my kitchen right there at that moment.
Okay.
I do it all myself.
Danny?
This is a big one. It delegates. It is not all on you. So basically, give people jobs to do, make them set the table, help them prep, get them to take the garbage out. It's not all on you for everything to be perfect. It's a team effort.
Very good. Very good. Cobe?
I don't know. Yeah, I like Jolene's.
Okay.
And make some fudge, right? Just make fudge.
Yeah, well.
You know, I mean, what else? You know what else?
Fudge is the great equalizer. Everybody likes fudge. Rich, poor, black, white. Everybody likes fudge.
It's a mediocre Denzel Washington film. No, my tip.
Brilliant.
Thank you. My tip, bourbon.
Hey.
Lots and lots of bourbon.
Always appropriate.
Always appropriate. All right, Kobe, can you play the words to live by?
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
And if you want to clear out your household, show them Zardoz. They'll go, because seeing Sean Connery in a red diaper in 1974, that'll have you running down the aisle. So, Danny, have a great holiday. Thank you so much, sir.
No worries, dude. And you guys have a wonderful holiday yourself. I'm about to crack open a bottle of wine, a pound of fudge, and give my wife a big kiss.
Thanks, Danny.
I'll see you later.
All right, take care.
Guys. Have a great holiday. Bye.
Yep. Jolene, you can hear on Eat Drink Indiana Radio Saturdays at 11 on WFYI HD2 and WFYI.org. Have a great holiday. Give my best
to the rest of
the family.
Absolutely.
I love this show. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. I'll see you next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Go Lions. Go Red Wings. Go Pistons. God.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.